chapter 22 and verse number 21, and look at it with me, please. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Now, Father, help us as we consider this important matter in Scripture. I would pray, Lord, that you'd rearrange our thinking. Help us to be more knowledgeable of you, and be more in your presence, and be more available to you, and realize how close you are to us. Help us now, I pray, and we'll be careful to thank you. In the sweet name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I submit to you this morning, beloved, that spiritual anemia is something that is just literally sweeping and destroying local churches today. Anemia in the body is a lack of red blood cells. And it's of course, we know that the red blood cells is what carries the oxygen in our system and provides our energy and provides our sustenance and our living, literally. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. We know that to be so. But I submit to you in the local church today, and I've got to be honest with you, even in this local church, because of the need of revival in every church and in every Christian life, there's a spiritual anemia today that is sweeping the local church. And then the reason is very simple. You could give a whole bunch of sidebar reasons, but there's one real reason as to why there's spiritual anemia today. And that's because God's people don't really know God like they should. Now, we claim to. Aren't you glad to be saved? Say amen. It's wonderful to have a King James Bible on your lap. Amen. Wonderful to have a local church to go to. But I'm telling you, I believe this with all my heart. And the closer we get to the Lord's coming, the more we're going to recognize it, the spiritual anemia in the local churches today and how we don't know God. Oh, may it be that we would be like Brother Paul, where he said in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Man, what a mouthful that is. Amen. That I may know him. That I can know God. I'm telling you, beloved, this morning, listen to me. I believe that if we are truly acquainted with the God of heaven, then we'll be attempting to pattern our lives after him more diligently. We'll think like he thinks. Amen. Our, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we'll be servants like he was. Even though he is God, he came down to be a what to you and I? Remember, this Sunday school class, you can talk back, amen. He came down to be a what to you and I? A servant. And we know he was and did. Now he's master and he's King of kings and Lord of lords. And he always was that. But isn't it amazing that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? I'll tell you, we need to be like him in our thinking. We need to act like he acts and be submissive to others and be helpful to others and kind to others. We need to talk like him. We need to speak like he speaks. But know this, beloved, you know this as well as I do. None of this comes naturally to me and you. None of it. Naturally. Now, you wouldn't believe this to look at my winsome face and personality. You wouldn't believe this for a minute, but I'm really a very mean person. I'm not a nice person. I don't claim to be. I know some of the little white-headed gals, oh, he looks so... Yeah, well, looks are deceiving, I'll tell you. If it wasn't for Jesus, I can't even imagine what I would be. I wouldn't want to imagine. I'd either be in prison or I'd be dead. I'll guarantee you I would be. God knows my heart. But none of the things that spiritually come from us come naturally. Our natural bent is to sin. Our natural bent is to go a-whoring, the Bible says, away from God. Our natural bent is to not want the Bible and not want to pray and not want to be in church. That's our natural bent. But if we will follow the biblical process of acquainting ourselves with God and be diligent about it, I'm telling you, beloved, it'd be a marvelous and wonderful thing, a change that would take place in our life. Brother Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and said, and beside this, he said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue what? Knowledge. See, the reason we're spiritually anemic in our churches today is because we don't know God like we should. And that's the fact. Now, listen, swallow hard, it'll go down. We need to listen to me very carefully. If we're ever going to see revival, If we're ever going to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon our lives, we have got to get honest with ourselves and with God. We've got to get honest. The pretense, the plasticness, if there is such a word, the masks that we put on to present ourselves better than we know that we are, and God knows that we are, the hypocrisies and all of that has to go away. And we have to get serious and honest with God. Can I get an amen? We've got to get honest with ourselves. We've got to confess our sin where it's necessary. We've got to be honest with ourselves and with God if we're ever going to be having what we desire and what we've been praying about in this matter. If you want to know God, it's a biblical method and it's very simple. And this is simplistic. And many of you dear people that have been saved longer than I've been alive know this backward and forward. But allow me, if I may, as a preacher of the gospel, to remind each one of us what the process is into knowing God. And the first one, and the very first one, the most important one is through Scripture. Through the Word of God. Amen? The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine. Of course, we know what that is, for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. If your Bible says thoroughly furnished, that's not the right word. That is a mistake of the publisher. The word is thoroughly, throughly. Is that correct? Anyway, a good adverb anyway. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Understand this, beloved, if we're going to know God, we've got to know Him through Scripture. And if this is going to work, we've got to know Him through what He says about Himself in the Word of God. Now, all Scripture has a purpose in it. Every verse in the Bible has a purpose in it. How many have ever heard of that Scripture about Fort Parbar, two at the crossing, Fort Parbar? Have you ever seen such a thing? Many of us, we don't pay attention to some things. If you'd study what that means that person was available, stayed in his spot, did his job for the Lord no matter what else happened. We need to pay attention to those little idioms in Scripture and those little examples in Scripture so we can know what God wants of us. Pay attention to what you're reading. Pay attention to what God's trying to say to you. God's trying to develop in you and I a working knowledge of Himself through His book. And understand this, precious friends. If we don't know God, we're never going to have revival. We will never get honest with ourselves. Again, that's the principle here. We'll never get honest with ourselves. We'll never pull away the hypocrisy that literally permeates Baptist churches today. Now don't sit there and be mad at me now. If we're going to be honest with God, we need to get honest with one another as well. Hypocrisy fairly drips from Baptist churches today. Drips from it. It's running in and out of the pews. It's in our lives. It's hypocrisy. It's painting ourselves as something we know we're not and God knows we're not. And if we're going to have revival, we've got to get honest with ourselves. And we've got to know Him more through Scripture. I'll tell you something, beloved. I love what the Bible says, and you know it as well. What it says in Psalm 119, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that what? I might not sin again. Beloved, would you please practice to memorizing Scripture? Something I've been working on now for several years, probably 10 years, I guess, is I'm trying my best to memorize Scripture and our hymns. I submit to you that it's not going to be long before our government, if Jesus doesn't come, that our government is going to remove our Bibles and our hymnals from us. They've done it in other countries. And lest we think that we're better than anybody else, beloved, you better understand, America's no favorite to God. Although we love America, and as long as we do right before Israel, God's going to continue to bless us. But beloved, when we're sodomite marriages and we're killing babies to the tune of more than 4,000 a day, America's no favorite to God anymore. And we are a pagan nation much more than we are a Christian nation today. Revival we need, right? So if we're going to lose our Bibles, which I firmly believe we will if Jesus doesn't come shortly, I believe we'll lose our hymnals as well. Wouldn't it be marvelous if maybe someone that didn't commit some hymns to memory had some hymns, knew someone else that committed to memory? We get together as a local church. Maybe we don't have a building anymore, but we're meeting out in the woods somewhere. And we sit down on a log and somebody begins to sing, Amazing Grace. Oh, I know those words. And you join in with them. Memorize the Bible. Memorize your hymns. Get your nose out of that book and sing to Jesus. Don't sing to the song leader. Don't sing to the piano. Sing to your King. And memorize the Bible. Memorize these words in the Word of God. And I'm telling you, beloved, that's where we get our authority. That's where we get our closeness to God. How are you gonna know God? From knowing someone that knows God? Or are you gonna know Him from His book, the very words of God and the Word of God itself? That's where you're gonna know Him. And that's what we need today. Beloved, I think more than anything else, it's you and I knowing Him through His Word. I think as well that as we look at the authority of the Word of God, we find His authority that literally covers all parts of our lives. There's not one aspect of your life and your living that the Word of God does not have some authority over it. Amen? People today are trying to raise their children out from underneath the authority of the Bible. People today trying to literally have church without a Bible. What in the world is the point? My heavens, then in the same token, what in the world is the point of you and I as human beings trying to live our life without the authority of the Scripture? We need the Bible. You're going to know God through His Word. I love what Father said in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. He says, And you shall seek for me and find me when you shall search for me with what? All your hearts. And listen to what He says, And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. God's not hiding from us. Did you know God isn't hiding His will from you? God's not some, and I say this carefully and honestly, beloved, before the Lord, it's very careful I even say this. God's not some ogre in heaven saying, Now try to find me. No, no, no. Listen, you didn't find Jesus. He found you. You weren't searching for God. You weren't searching for righteousness and the good and the right way, and neither was I. But I was found of Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad today. And the more we search for God in the sense of looking into His Word, now that we are His children, the more that we search out the wonderful will of God and the Word of God, He will be found of us. And we can have a relationship with Him. Get acquainted with God, beloved, through Scripture. Here's something else. Get acquainted with God through sermons. I love sermons. I love preaching. I love long preaching, short preaching, good preaching, bad preaching. Man, I like preaching. My wife preaches to me. How many husbands want to give me an amen? Wave at me a little bit. Yeah, you coward. You know it's right. You looked at your wife. Should I? You big baby. Bless God. We all get preached to. Amen. I don't preach to my wife. Bless the Lord. She writes all my sermons anyway. Amen. If you get to know her, you'll know that's the biggest goofy thing I could ever say. She's a wonderful woman, and praise the Lord for her. But anyway, we'd be married 30 years in just a couple of weeks. I can't even believe she hung around with me that long. Wow. But anyway, I submit to you that God puts a very high premium on sermons, on the preaching of His Word. Did you know the word preaching is used 27 times in your Bible? 27 times throughout Scripture, the word preaching is used. And I believe that it's important that you and I would value the preaching of the Word of God. Listening to sermons. It's important to listen. Did you know if you come to every service, and this is going to be a ballpark figure, but if you come to every service at the Loomis Park Baptist Church, and your good pastor gets up here, and I appreciate Brother Zwadzki. I love him. I was talking to a guy over in Elgin the other day named Obshendig. You suppose that's a bit Polish? I guarantee it is. He's talking about galumpkies and all kinds of weird kind of things. And I said, well, I'm going to preach for a guy named Zawadzki. I said, you know why they put ski on the end of their name, don't you? Because they can't spell toboggan. Amen. But anyway, he was all excited about that. I'm going to preach for a brother Pole. Amen. So anyway, what was I going to say? But if you come and listen to your good pastor, and I appreciate and love this young man. I love him. And I appreciate the stand he takes. And I'm glad he's not a stinking compromiser. And there's a lot of young men his age that are compromising today for a big crowd and for the applaudits of men. Listen, you ought to be careful to thank God for a man who stands up here and hoes the corn every week without apology and without consideration of what anybody thinks about it. Can I get an amen? If you come to this church every service, and by the way, you hadn't ought to miss, but if you come every service, you're going to hear somewhere around 220 some odd sermons and lessons from the Word of God. Every year you'll do that. And I wonder today how many people actually catch what they hear, if they really get it. I mean, you know, when you come to a preaching or a teaching service, do you really pay attention? Do you sleep? Do you daydream? Do you think about the big Michigan game yesterday? Who really cares? State won too. No, I'm kidding. I know you're not supposed to say that over this side of the state. I understand. I've lived in Michigan a long time. But the question is, do you sleep? Do you daydream? I guarantee you, some people, and I've done it myself, God have mercy on me. I've sat in church sometimes and I begin thinking about what I've got to do the week coming up. That's wrong. That's terrible. That's sin, beloved. Some people are sitting there solving they're looking in their checkbook, wondering what they're going to do next week, or they're planning a vacation or a trip, or thinking of some. Beloved, listen to the Word of God when you're able to be here. Listen. Do you feel that you know God and His book better after you've sat through a week of listening to the Word of God, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or a special meeting? Do you feel like you know God better? If you don't, guess whose fault that is? Well, it's the preacher's fault. It's yours, my dear friend. Yours. Sure ain't God's. It's your fault. When you're here, pay attention and listen. And God's going to use sermons to direct and move you in your life closer to Him if you'll simply listen to Him. Honestly now, are you listening right now? Are you paying attention right now? You need preaching. You need the teaching of the Word of God. I would submit to you, I guarantee you, I know Brother Zwadzki very well in the sense of what he loves. He loves preaching and sermons and sermonic material. If you want to read sermons, he'll get you hooked up some good sermons. They won't be any of his, but there'll be good sermons. No, he'll get you. There's books, beloved. There are books out there just literally pregnant with beautiful, wonderful messages. Dr. Malone has book after book after book of sermons that he preached. And I heard him preach many of those sermons as a teenager. The very first time he preached them, I heard him, and I read him in those books, and I think, man, oh, I heard him on the radio the other day, Brother Rich. I just sat there and wept and cried. I missed that precious mentor of ours. I just wept and cried as he preached in his 1970s voice when he was in this. It was in the 70s. I mean, he was swinging from the chandeliers back then when he was preaching. I'm not kidding you. I mean, the guy, we were talking to somebody out in the foyer just a little bit ago. You see this little old guy get up from the, it was amazing. He'd be sitting there in the service, and he'd be sitting there kind of, you know, with his legs crossed and the Bible on his lap, and you'd think, what in the world's he going to do, that old man? I'm saying this carefully. Dr. Malone was my mentor, my hero. You'd see him sitting there, you know, kind of humped up, a little tiny. Then you'd see him get up to the pulpit, and he'd kind of walk up there, you know, with his hunched up lip. And buddy, when he stepped behind the pulpit, he got 10 foot tall. And I'm telling you, he let it fly. And he plowed up one side of you and down the other. Amen. And beloved, I'm telling you, the lives were changed. And your life will be changed through preaching and the teaching of the Word of God if you will have an ear to hear. May God help us. You can read sermons. You can listen to CDs of it. You can listen to cassette tapes. Anybody still have cassette tapes? I have tons of cassette tapes of my dad's preaching. I mean, man, just cassette tapes. And I have a hard time listening to them sometimes because I'm reminiscing of it all. But, oh, beloved, spend time doing these things. We've got to do it while we've still got the chance to let the Word of God change us. You know how another way you're going to know God? You'll know Him through the Scripture. You'll know Him through sermons. But listen, you'll know God through sacrifice and suffering. Are you listening? You're going to know Him better through sacrifice and suffering. The Bible, Brother Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And we love to think about that. Oh, up from the grave He arose. Amen? Aren't you glad Jesus is alive? And we all like to know Him and the power of His resurrection. But listen, what about the fellowship of His suffering? Being made conformable unto His death. I submit to you, none of us like to think about that. Listen, when we think about the sufferings of the cross or the things of what Jesus went through, I'm telling you, it's a matter of you and I not necessarily dying for Him, but living for Him and being dedicated to Him, going through it for Him. I'm telling you, this really grasps me and gets a hold of me in the context of these verses of what it says in Philippians 3, where it says, but what things were gained to me, Brother Paul said, those things I counted what? Loss for Christ. Can you get a hold of this? What does gain mean? Of course, gain means supplying ourselves with money or things in that type of situation. But gain is a good thing. I'm not saying it's not bad to have some gain, but I'm saying what everything else in our life needs to be counted loss in comparison to anything else. Everything is gain. Everything that we have is loss. Jesus said to the disciples one day, "Your family ought to be the love that you have for your family ought to look like hate." When you compare your love for me, I'm telling you, acquaintance with God requires a sacrifice for the believer, a sacrifice of our things, a sacrifice of our wants, a sacrifice of our self, and a loss of things for Him. The fellowship of His sufferings. I want you to think of the physical attributes of this statement. Somebody wrote this, and I quote, "The one way of knowing a person is to suffer their ills and problems with them." You will know somebody better by going through something with them. Now get a hold of this, what Brother Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils away among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hungers and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Beloved, do we know Christ, or are we attempting to know God like Paul knew Him? I submit to you, we would be if we would be willing to pay the price He paid. But most of us aren't willing to pay the price enough to be here every night this coming week. I submit to you, and I pastored a church a long time, and I know how Christians are, and I'm not berating you, and I hope I'm not hurting you by saying this, but there are people, I would imagine, that have already planned this week not to come. They've got something else they've got going. Can I say to you very carefully, as your brother, and as a preacher of the Holy Word of God, there is nothing you've got to do any more important this week than to be here for this meeting. Nothing. Nothing. I say that with the authority of the Word of God. For the Scripture says, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. Can I get an amen on that? So you need to sacrifice some things to be here. Other people are sacrificed to be here. We're sacrificing to be here. My brothers are going to sacrifice to be here. Your good pastor sacrificing to plan this meeting. Now you sacrifice to know God a little bit better by being here every service. Don't miss. I'm going to guarantee you, the devil's going to give you every excuse under the sun to miss. Don't let him win. Don't let it happen. Don't let it. Sacrifice some things and give up some things so that you could be willing to let God help you with some matters. I'm going to do what Dr. Malone did, knock out a couple of rail cars and get to the caboose. Amen. Here's something else that you can do to know God better, and that's to pray. Speak to Him. Communicating with God in prayer. Beloved, listen, that's when God also communicates with us at the same time. We communicate with Him in prayer, and certainly we get communication from God in His Word. But I love what it says in Exodus 33. "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp afar off from the camp and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." They were recognizing the holiness of God and the importance of what was taking place here before them. Listen what happened. "And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended." What did the cloudy pillar during the daytime and the pillar of fire at night represent, beloved? What? Come on. The presence of Almighty God in the tabernacle. "It stood at the door of the tabernacle and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle, the door. And the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." Listen to this. "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. As a man speaketh unto his friend, and he," Moses, "turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the temple. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou sayest, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, Moses says, If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may know thee. And that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence, our God said to Moses. Moses was God's man. The people of Israel were God's people. And God said to his man, My presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Well, listen, God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Exodus 33:7-16. I'm submitting to you today, beloved, when Moses spoke to God, God spoke with Moses, and another time he did it in chapter 32. I won't take the time to read it, but I wonder how many today of us Christians, the 21st century Christians, could talk to God as Moses did in this passage. God said, I want you to do this, Moses. And Moses said, Okay, God, if I have found grace in thy sight, if you are who you say you are, then be with me. Because if you're not going to be with me, I don't want to do anything. Are you there in that place in your life? I am. I'm at a place in my life, beloved, where I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody likes about me or dislikes about me. I'm at a place in my life, and I'm trying to be there more often than not, that I just want to please God. And I know that when I please the Lord, I make even my enemies to be at peace with me. But none of that matters to me. I want to be right with Him. I want to be right with my wife, and I want to be right with Him. And by the way, you can't be right with Him if you're not right with your spouse. That's a whole other sermon, amen, and we'll just forego that. But I'll tell you, friend, it's an important matter to know God. And speaking to God in the manner that Moses did. I mean literally bartering with God, if we could put it this way. Interceding for His people. Did you know, beloved, that the only qualification that Abraham had to experience this kind of blessing, and Moses had this kind of blessing, this experience with God, you want to know what the only qualification was? It wasn't that he could do some great spiritual exercise or razzmatazz. It wasn't that he could do the spiritual chicken dance. Amen? Thought I was going to do it, didn't you? I don't even know how to do it, but I heard it's fun. Let me tell you what the only qualification was that he had could speak to God the way he did Moses and Abraham. And the only qualification you need. Here it is coming. You ready? Acquainting yourself with God. Knowing Him. Knowing God. I believe this week that the pews need to be filled with God's people. Revival is not a bunch of people getting saved. That is the byproduct of revival. For when God's people get right with Him and with one another, guess what? People get saved. The city of Jackson, Michigan could fairly be turned upside down for the glory of God. I know that's what that preacher wants. I wouldn't want to live on the East Coast for nothing, but he's from there. But he didn't move to Michigan to come over here to just kind of spend the rest of his days. He came over here to lead a local church to do something for God's sake. To raise up a monument for Him, for God. For this place to be something that people look to and say, God is there. God is there. That's what this preacher's about. I know him enough to be able to say that without equivocation. I'm submitting to you this morning, beloved, are you on board with that? If you're not, you need to be. If you're not, you need to consider yourself a little bit and recognize this isn't about you. This is about Him. And you need to get on board. And all God's children said, acquaint yourself with God, would you? It's the best thing you can do. It's the best thing you can do for your family. It's the best thing you can do for your church and your community and your state and your country. May God help us to do it. Precious Father,